This is Freedom First, and I'm Jeffrey Tucker. Our topic today concerns academia. Is the college bubble finally popping? I don't know the answer to this, but I tell you what, I've been waiting for it for decades and decades. Just mystified why it is that so many kids just presume it's the right thing to give up the most productive, interesting, learning years of their life between 18 and 22 to sit in desks and listen to what college professors proclaim, spit them back on tests, get a degree at the end of it that you can hang in a frame on your wall, and then having spent, you know, six figures and more, plus the opportunity costs of lost income, lost job experience, lost life experience as a result. I have been amazed by this. Ever since World War II, we had a huge push in this country to get everybody in college as if that's the key to a growing economy and a good life. Well, you know, it's all a matter of supply and demand. You know, how many high-end, credentialed members of the professional managerial class do we really need? How many intellectuals does society really need? Look, I'm not saying people shouldn't be educated. Everybody should be educated, but education is a lifelong thing. Also, I'm sorry, but you know, 12 years of education should be enough, to one would think, to make you a wise and intelligent person. Why do you need an additional boost to 4 years of college? And as we know, over the decades, college is the new high school, you know, and high school is the new grade school. Things have gotten dumbed down, and you know, with so many people having graduated from college, one wonders if it's really made us wise, better off as a society, or whether we've just squandered countless trillions in hours wasted, lives, outright dollars, and opportunity costs on this grand college experiment. And I keep waiting for a time when it's going to come to an end. Part of the problem here has always been not so much that kids want to go to college and sit in desks and listen to professors spout things at them. That's not so much that. It's that the parents think that this is the pathway for success for their children. And parents will do anything, as you know. Parents will do anything for their kids. Even if they had a sense that they have a better chance with a college degree, they're going to take that chance because kids, parents love their kids. And they want them in college as a signifier of success. How many times have you heard somebody say, I was the first person in my family to ever go to college? Okay, well, congratulations to you. Maybe it was a mistake. Anyway, we've had a very hard time breaking the psychology that college is always better than just pursuing a vocation, going to work, getting good at what you do. It's been a very difficult a problem of how to break this psychology, but it seems like something happened over the last several years to begin to change that psychology. I mean, one is that a lot of people pay for college and their colleges wouldn't let them go to class. They're stuck in their dorm rooms as prisoners or at home for a permanent spring break and required to watch Zoom classes, not exactly the most fulfilling college experience. And then they're graduated anyway, and that's just convinced a whole generation that the entire thing is a hoax and a racket, and now they're stuck with vast college debt that they end up pleading to the Biden administration, please forgive my college debt, and they all assume it's going to happen, and it probably will. I don't know. Constitutional or not, it could probably happen. But that seemed to strip off the veneer of college. And then we've had a whole round of scandals, starting most famously with Harvard. You had, you know, top professors at Harvard that were accused of and proven to be plagiarists. Then Harvard itself once investigated it, discovered it, but far from having been fired, they actually just got stuck into the teaching bureaucracy again, earning huge salaries. So, you know, that, you know, you have to wonder what, if this is the premier educational institution of colleges and universities in America, and this is what it's come down to, where, you know, a DEI-hired professor can just work there with tenure forever despite having been proven to be a plagiarist. She was president of the university. She got removed from the presidency but got stuck into a professorship. If this goes on at Harvard, I mean, what else is going on? Well, I'm sorry to report that the corruption and the rot within academia is really all pervasive. And we knew this from the pandemic period. How many college professors really objected to lockdowns, forced masks, forced vaccines that the kids didn't need anyway, that injured many of them? How many really stood up and said something about it? They're not brave, they're not bold, they don't even have free speech rights because universities are so taken over by DEI standards and all the woke ideologies that are, you know, vexing America. So yeah, this has seemed to have, you know, why do you really want to go into that prison? Do you really want to pay $100, $200, $250,000 for the privilege of having 4 years of not working in a the complete lack of adventure, sitting there becoming a cog in a machine, all so that you can get, you know, some lame job in a management position that's not exactly adventurous, and you just sit there and do nothing for the rest of your life, despite your income? Do you really want to live that kind of life? Well, apparently, there are many people who watched all this unfold, particularly during the lockdown period. Kids were watching their parents at home. They might have previously believed they had an exciting life, going to the office, long commute, oh, I'm going to the city, whatever, to do my job. And now they watch their parents at home doing their so-called work, and they're just sitting on a laptop, typing on applications and communicating with coworkers this way. It's just like, that's not a very interesting life. So apparently the last generation born in the 20th century and in the first few years of the 21st century, so-called Gen Z, has rethinking college. Enrollment in vocational programs and community colleges has exploded. It's gone way up in the last few years, and college and the number of people matriculating in conventional colleges has gone way down. And surveys of this demographic have shown that many people are more interested in vocations, in construction, becoming a welder, becoming a plumber, electrician, all these things that we're so desperately in need of right now. As a society, we don't have enough people who know how to do things anymore. That based on supply and demand, these professions like welder, electrician, plumber, builder, you know, whatever, all these things that are real world stuff, work with your hands kind of stuff, are paying more with more job flexibility and opportunities in the marketplace than the people who are coming out of high-end colleges with fancy degrees, who are having a hard time getting jobs. And they certainly aren't finding happiness. So it seems like maybe for the first time this is starting to change. I mean, we could be looking at a very interesting future in which kids will brag, I'm the first person in generations not to go to college, and I'm more financially successful and happier than anybody else in my family has been. That could actually happen. I think we're headed to that place. It's possible that the college bubble is finally starting to pop. I don't think we're going to discredit the whole institution now, but we seem to be at least beginning that process. I'd like you to consider this too. So many people graduate from college today and get out into the workplace and find out that their degrees are actually not valued, that they don't earn them a higher income, they don't earn the respect of their colleagues. The way in so many professions, and I'm talking about thousands of white-collar professional jobs go these days, getting the job itself is just the foot in the door. Then you have to actually get your education through professional credentialing. Now, what is that? These are things like the certified public accountant degree, the certified financial analyst. There are thousands of these kinds of things. Certified financial planner, and that's just in one industry, but every industry has them. Architecture, and just every industry has certifications to go through. Actuaries, you name it, where you have to learn vast amounts of material. You have to pass tests to prove that you know the material, and then you ascend up the ranks based on those professional credentialing. Now, a lot of people in college don't even know that this exists. They think that getting a college degree is going to be the ticket to success. It turns out not to be. That's just the first step, and in fact, it's not even a necessary step, since many of these professional credentials are available to people who have never been to college. All you have to do is enroll and study, get them, and you're off to the races. And then you get back those 4 years that you otherwise would have spent in college, and you get them back to build your career. Sounds like a good thing to me. It's the great secret of life in 2024 that you can be a tremendous success without the college degree, without carrying around student debt until you're 40 years old, without having squandered 4 years in a university where you don't even know why you're there, not really learning anything anyway. I've had many friends of mine learn this. For example, in the computer industry, I've had friends of mine stick in college to get a master's degree in computer science, only to discover in the industry nobody cares about that degree. And they wonder, why did I spend 2 years in college learning stuff that I'm not actually using? It doesn't serve any purpose. I should have taken a different route. And it's true. For the most part, your value in the marketplace these days is ever less related to your college degree. Now, there are some exceptions, of course. Law and medicine and these highly regulated professions that require these kinds of credentials. But that's a tiny percentage of people that go into those fields. If you want adventure, you want fun, you want real experience, you want riches, you want to rely on your own efforts, your own intelligence, your own ability to learn, and not just rest on some very expensive piece of paper you're going to hang on your wall, there are other paths to success. Now, what happens if this truth starts getting out? You're looking at an amazing upheaval of a gigantic industry that has just thrived for so many decades and for so long. To my way of thinking, it was a huge squandering of resources for so long. One of my favorite books that I've ever read is by Joseph Schumpeter called Capitalism, Socialism, and Democracy. It was written in the middle of the 1940s, and one of the most prescient and interesting and intriguing books about American institutions and the key ideological issues of the time that I've ever read. I keep rereading it because it's so interesting. Every chapter is fascinating. He's most famous for his theory that entrepreneurship is creative destruction. Okay, that's a fascinating insight. It's worth reading that chapter. But he has a whole chapter in here predicting exactly what happened with American education and colleges. He said that when all the GI Bill is going to make it possible for all these returning soldiers to come back and dump them into college, basically to keep them out of the workforce, to keep them from driving down wages. That was actually what the purpose was. But he said this is going to overproduce professional managers who are going to discover that they don't like their lives, they don't like their workplaces, they're getting paid less than people who are highly trained in vocational areas, and they're going to become bitter at the system. And then they're going to dedicate themselves to overthrowing it, since idle hands do the devil's work. It's a very interesting chapter because, as is typical with this book, he had amazing ability to see things other people weren't seeing. That is exactly what happened. It took a long time, but we bred several generations of people very angry at the American system for having failed them, and then dedicating themselves as intellectuals to overthrowing it. Those same people now occupy most of the positions of tenured professors in our colleges and universities today. They are enemies of the American system, the Constitution, freedom, rights. And they preach to their students that it's all unfair, that life is a ripoff, the only thing you can do is overthrow it and install some sort of totalitarian system in which they are advising government managers on how to properly run society. And that's pretty much where we are. Do you really want to send off your kid to go learn from such bitter people, you need to think about it. Think about it hard. Seems to me that one of the answers to restoring this country and restoring freedom and restoring America to what it once was and could be again is to end our dependency on the intellectual class, on the academy, on colleges and universities. Defund them, stop giving them your money, stop with the government subsidies, and let's go back to being a hardworking, enterprising, creative society that really did change the world with its innovations and its prosperity. That's part of the path to getting this great country back. But here's the thing. It begins with you, your children, your grandchildren, and your community. There are other paths to success besides spending those 4 years or 6 years sitting at a desk, listening to the experts tell you what to think. Maybe it's time for us all to get out there and do things again, learn skills, serve others in a marketplace, a vibrant, growing, happy marketplace of goods and services provided through the free enterprise system, rather than training another generation of little angry would-be socialists to overthrow what good left remains in America. So it seems to me that if the college bubble is bursting, that would be good for this country and good for freedom. It's all part of putting freedom first. This is Jeffrey Tucker.